Obviously, this is Thanksgiving week. You may have noticed that by the songs we've sung and the words that have come forward. This is pretty much the one time of the year that we focus on talking about being thankful as society and the church, really. I was listening to everything and I thought, there's no need for me to get up here and share anything. If we've been listening, not only to the things that the worship leaders have said, but the words that have come forth, all the encouragement, but if we've been listening to the Holy Spirit throughout the last hour or so, it's all been said and it's all been done, and we just need to realize it and engage with what's already taken place. So there's no need for me to talk, but I'm going to talk anyways. Because that's what I do. And I think it's good for us to hear it. I'm going to ask for some participation in this, but we will get through it all in a timely fashion. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we've already said thank you, but forever we're going to be telling you thank you. You've called us to have a heart of gratitude, and it stirs you to move on our behalf. So, Father, right now, I just ask that we really capture your heart about why thanks is such a key to our living. And I ask that you help it be ingrained in who we are in you and who you've called us to be in you, that we will live out our days thankful. And I bless your people to hear your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've titled this, How to Always Be Thankful. The only person that really needs to know that is Brian, because she puts stuff up on the website. And it's interesting because I don't feel like I have a lot to say, but yet, like Steve, we could, for the rest of our lives, whoever's speaking, talk for an hour every Sunday on simply the things that God has done in and through our lives to be thankful for. But so many people in the church and outside of the church struggle with being thankful. You know, from a worldly perspective, we can look around. We've gone through just total unrest throughout the last several years, not only politically, but culturally. You know, society is just run rampant, and it's not just in the United States, it's across the world. A lot of times we've always thought we're immune in the U.S., and still riot takes place in Kenosha. You know, I always thought that just happened elsewhere. And you know, I'm up in Milwaukee every day, and I'm seeing people standing. It's 17 degrees today when I got up. I don't know what it was when you got up, but that's cold, you know. And I thought, God, how can I be thankful for cold? I don't like cold. I don't like being cold. I like warmth. And there's all these things that we face in life. We go through. People are hungry. People need shelter. People need clothing. There's all these things, right, that we see everywhere, whether we're experiencing in our own personal life or we just see it happening. You could say, how can we be thankful? Look at all these circumstances. And I thought, how do we live? How do we live always being thankful? And you guys already know the answers to this. I think it's very simple, but hopefully by the end of it, I'll get it. Because I see all this stuff every day, and all this stuff can grab our attention when the only attention we need to give is to Him. And all this stuff kind of disappears, right? You know, I always get up here and terribly sing that song. You know, turn your eyes upon Jesus, right? And it's so true. If you want other things to melt away from your view, if you want the burdens to be lifted off of you, if you want to see circumstances a different way, if you want to live a life of being thankful, turn your eyes towards Jesus. So you ready? All right. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. We all know this passage. It says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to make an assumption that if you're here today, you are in Christ Jesus. If you're not, see somebody next to you who is in Christ Jesus before you leave today and get in Christ Jesus. Why? Because then you will know the will of God for your life, which is rejoice. Rejoice. Be joyful. You know, I exude that all the time. I walk around with this big grin on my face, you know. People look and you can, it makes them happy. You know? Pray continually. You know, well, people, well, how do I do that? I have to do this at work. You know, I have learned, regardless of anything, I can always be talking to them. I'm talking to you right now, but in my spirit, I'm talking to God. I'm saying, what do I say next? Lord, help me. No, that goes on, really, when speakers talk, especially when they go down these bunny trails and they don't know where they've gone, so they don't know how to get back. You know, but I've always been a person like in denial. I'll never admit being lost, right? You guys know the story. I said, I don't know where I am, but I know where I'm going and I know how to get there, right? So I'm not lost. So you can pray continually. That was a long road to get to the point that you can pray continually, okay? And give thanks. See, the will of God is for you to live always thankful. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious about anything. So we could pause there and look at all the things going on in our lives, all the things going on in the world, whether we like them, whether we agree with them, whether we disagree, whether, you know, all the stuff. There's just stuff. Life is full of stuff. You know, that's why I think he's given us eternal life and we can live in that now. All this temporal stuff. We're not to be anxious about it. I see so many of us worked up over stuff. I do. I throw things when the Packers don't score. I've been throwing lots of things this year. I've learned to just turn it off. Then I don't have to throw things. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now there's a key here that I think we need to understand as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That is, in everything we do, in serving the Lord and serving one another in this life, we are to be thankful. We like to talk about not being anxious in prayer and petition and our requests to God. But the key in the whole thing is how we go about living our lives. It's with thanksgiving. It unlocks everything set before us. So how do we always stay thankful in spite of everything going on in life? All the tragedies, all the trials, all the tribulation, all the persecution. How? I only came down to two answers. And one is to know God. So I want to ask you to give me one word, and I don't want anyone to repeat another person's word. So if I come up to you and say, God is, and you give me an answer, what it would be? God is what? God is love. God is good. Brenda. Faithful. Creator. Huh? Beautiful. Funny. Peaceful. Let's keep going. Order. Sovereign. Bud. Patient. Natalie. Life. Terry. Just. Keep going. I love it. Provider, Kelly. Fire, Cheryl. My salvation. Awesome. We could literally spend the next half hour or more just saying, God is. But my question in all of that is we know these things, we say it, but do we live these things? See, the key to being thankful is living in who God is. So I wrote down just a couple from the Bible. These aren't my own thoughts. It says, God is love. I can read, God is faithful. God is righteous. God is mighty. God is exalted. God is my help. God is gracious. He's truthful. God is with me. He's my refuge. He's my strength. He's merciful. He's forgiving. He's forever. And the list didn't stop there. I just quit going. The word's all full of who God is. So do we know God? If we know God, the fruit in our life will always cause thanksgiving to God. It doesn't matter what I go through, it doesn't matter what I face. If I know in whom I have believed in and understand that He is good and He is faithful and He is true, He's my strength, I can walk through anything. Thankfully. Without that, I may look at the waves and sink. So, what's some verses? John 17, 3 it says, Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I think one of the most interesting things, and we said it a little bit earlier, is we have the opportunity when we come to know Jesus to live from an eternal mindset. Now. So we don't have to get caught up with all the temporal things that life brings. We can always bring an eternal perspective to it and understand it's different than most people see it. And if we can get God's perspectives on things, we are unstoppable in what we can do in this life. And nothing life brings will throw us or remove us from the state of being able to give Him thanks. 1 John 4, 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, I don't know a lot of your stories in life, and I'm sure I haven't even begun to understand all the facets of love. But understand what love does in your life when you fall in love and get married, and two people become one, and now their life's concern is your life. And then you have children, all of a sudden you care so much for this child, you don't want anything to happen to it. And it's not like you won't let them touch the fire and get burned because they learned a good lesson. But you make sure they don't get burned alive. I mean, we have to put things in the proper perspective. You care so much, but sometimes you learn, well, no, they need to stumble and fall so they realize they can get back up. I think it's always funny, my grandson right now just turned two, had the party, and he got this little toy dinosaur, and he was immediately afraid of it. As soon as they like turned it on, it started walking at him, his mouth open and its eyes, And it didn't matter who was there. He wanted somebody to hold him, and all he kept saying is dinosaur, dinosaur, dinosaur. Do you know who God is? Do you know what love compels him to do? He can't help but want to be involved in your life. He can't help but be there with his arms open to pick you up when you think something's out to get you. We see glimpses of what love does in parents and all those things, right? Glimpses. So much more with God. Your life is secure in him. No matter what life brings, you can be thankful because it doesn't rest in that circumstance. It rests in him. I always appreciate the stories Peter is told. He gets into all kinds of trouble. Best way to put it, they're going to kidnap me. They're going to throw me in prison. They're going to, I don't know how many times he tells the stories about they're going to beat him up or that, Peter's still here. Why? He knows God. And that's the only reason. Because there's countless circumstances in which Peter should no longer be here. But something happens when you know God. You can rest in him. You can go into any situation that God leads you into knowing that he will get you out of the situation. It pays to know God. And the fruit God will lead you to living a life where you're always thankful. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things. Now, I'm pausing right there on purpose. It's not always for all things. I am thankful, God, that you just created this mess that I have to walk through so I can walk through it and stay clean. Sometimes we think all this stuff and circumstances life, God's orchestrated. Life is life, and we messed it up a long time ago. And we gave order over to chaos. There's no chaos in the kingdom, by the way. When you've entered the kingdom, you've entered a place of peace and rest. And just like light dispels darkness, because darkness really doesn't exist, it's only the absence of light. That's all chaos is. When you bring peace into chaos, there is no such thing as chaos. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Do you know God? Do you know that in all things, he is with you and able to turn all things for your good? If you do, you will be thankful in all things. We have to know God to live a life of thanksgiving. We have to know who he is. We have to involve him in our lives. We have to rest in him. We have to be secure in him. We have to come to rely upon him, because it's in him we have our being. And the fruit of that you will always be thankful. Second point, again, I said I only had 2 points. One's to know God and to know what he has already done for you. There's a lot of people that know God or know of God and don't understand at all what he's done for you. There's a couple words. In the Bible that are probably some of the most powerful words that I don't think we fully comprehend. I know mentally we get it, but I don't think we let it sink into where our lives are lived a certain way. It's these words, it is finished. I know we just sang this song, you know, thank you, I love that song. Kind of force my daughters to do it every year. And you know, it says, I thank you for what you're going to do. Okay. Now, God is fully engaged and active in our lives. But everything God needs to have done, he has already done. It is finished. It's just whether we're going to walk in the finished work of what he's already done. So you have to know what he has done. Romans 6:23. Everyone knows this verse. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, this is probably the most basic, simple thing we all need to know. We have a hope in Jesus that we will forever, eternally, be raised up from the grave with him and live with him for eternity. Death and sin no longer have any dominion over us. Now, if God's people would get hold of that simple truth, it would revitalize anything. Sin would never be an issue in the kingdom of God. Impossible for sin to be an issue if you have revelation of the truth. Why? Because I'm no longer under the dominion of sin. Why? Because of what Jesus did. That simple. No other reason. I couldn't have taken care of it on my own. I would have messed it up, but he did it for me. And the only way we can live above all the circumstances of life if we understand these are temporary, but I'm an eternal being now. And I live from an eternal perspective. Who did that for me? Jesus did that for me. He took me from a temporal existence and birthed me into an eternal existence, of which I just get to live temporarily for him and to do his will. To affect this world before we just go on with eternity. We have to understand what he's done already for us so we can go through things with thanks. Romans 8:2. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. I couldn't say it better myself. It's like being on an autobahn. Go as fast as you want. He's given you life free from sin and death. You have the ability to go share Jesus with people and set them free from everything in life, from every burden in life, from every circumstance in life. See, what the world needs now is freedom. Not their understanding of freedom, which brings you into bondage, but God's freedom that brings you into true liberty. You understand what he's done for you. You will always live thankful. John 16:33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Now, I love this about God because he just puts it right on the table for you. In this world, you will have trouble. Okay, let's all rejoice over that phrase. I don't know too many people that like that's their favorite verse in the Bible. You know, every thank you, God, for the trouble of the day. You know, but if you get the rest of it, you can thank God for the trouble of the day. It says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Doesn't say I will overcome the world. It is finished. You know, people won't understand when you are thankful to God for the trouble that you're about to face. They won't understand it. Why? Because it makes no sense. It is foolishness to them. But when you know what he's done, temporary trouble is not trouble. Just something to step over. 1 John 5:4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. Okay, you can all say that's one of my favorite verses, right? You should grab hold of that one. It tells you no matter what you face today, no matter what you wake up and face tomorrow, you are victorious. That is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. It says what he has done for you is enough to not only get you through tomorrow, but make you do the victory dance at the end of the day. The Lambeau leap. They used to do that once. I haven't seen that much anymore, but we can always do it. There's some, you ever see people that win, you know, celebrate? You've won. You've won. Go into the worst situation you can imagine. And do a little dance of victory and see how it changes everyone's perspective. One, they'll want to throw you in the loony bin, but you'll like it. You've won. Imagine playing a game, and no matter what happens in it, you already know you won. I've told you guys, I love watching recordings, and every once in a while I'll cheat. I'll see if I won. I don't mind watching a game when I know I won. Why? Because it doesn't matter what happens in the game, I won. I don't get nervous. I don't get upset. Can you believe? Yeah, we fumbled on the 2-inch line with 3 seconds left in the game and gave them the ball. Yep. It doesn't matter. The circumstance doesn't matter when we know what he's done for us. Okay, coming down the back stretch. Philippians 4:13. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. All this. Another version says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Okay? So what are we saying? What he's done for you enables you to go through all things. There's nothing that he hasn't equipped you for that you will have to go through. Nothing. Nothing. You're equipped. It may not feel like it. It may overwhelm you at times, but if we'll learn to rest in him, you will go through. That will produce a fruit of thankfulness. 2 Timothy, verse 1. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So what am I saying there? What's the verse saying there? I'll make it. He's given you himself to reside in you. And what's that make you do through life? It makes you walk in power. It makes you walk in love. It makes you be disciplined. We need to grab hold of what he's done for us. He's given us himself. He didn't just die on the cross and forgive your sins. He didn't just go to a grave. He didn't just get raised. He didn't just go sit down at the right hand of heaven and said, have a good life. He poured out his spirit upon his sons and his daughters. Why? So they could go through life victorious. It's already done. It is finished. You win. It should make us thankful. I want to end with this passage. And we started it a little earlier, but I like the whole passage. I love Philippians. It's one of my favorite books of the Bible. A lot of wisdom in it. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, I would say that word in itself encompasses everything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. See, we should have an attitude of gratitude in all things. And here's what happens. Here's what thanksgiving does for our lives. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding. Okay, if you think you have a mental assent to understand the peace of God, it's more. Okay, it makes no sense. It's beyond our understanding. I can't comprehend it, but I can sure rest in it. Don't wait to understand everything before you just rest in him. Rest in him and let him bring you understanding. Okay? Why? Because it will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, yes, I'm concluding. We're almost done. Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, not whatever you think is true. Not whatever you'd like to be true. Whatever is true. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So I want you to stand with me. I believe it's really simple that there's two keys to living a thankful life. It's knowing him and knowing what he's done. And here's something he's done. He's given you his mind. Okay? Your mind is where your thinking comes from. If your thinking is right, you will always be thankful. If your thinking is wrong, you will always be critical and complaining. Now, I'm in leadership. I hear a lot of criticizing and complaining. Some people say that's the nature of leadership. I say that's the nature of not understanding who you are in Christ and what he's done for you. So often, if I think something is wrong, it's just me not seeing it through the eyes of God. It's just me thinking, God doesn't have this handled, so I got to get in there and change it. But when I have God's perspective, all of a sudden, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure, all these thoughts come to me, and that situation isn't what I thought. And guess what? God has it handled, and everything's all right. And what was criticism, complaining, turns to thanks. Wow, I'm so thankful for Terry, even though he screws up all the time. That was a joke. That was just... No, there's something in your heart that you start accepting people for who they are in God and understand that he's not done with them yet. And you start seeing what God's building people into, and all of a sudden you become thankful for their lives and thankful for their strength that God's given them to go through things. And it changes your perspective. See, he's called us to be thankful. I don't have a problem with whoever's president. I don't have to like them. I don't have to agree with them. I don't know. Our government, none of that matters, because there's a government above our government. And I can rest assured in that government. He's got it handled. There is nothing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what I'd like us to do before we leave, if you're willing, if you're not, that's okay. I'm not going to force you. I don't have that power over you. I would just like us to get into a few small groups and just... If every person could share with somebody what they're thankful for, whether just a revelation of who he is in my life or what he's done so I can walk through it, just to encourage one another before we leave. Heavenly Father, I bless your people. I thank you for every person that's attended here today. I thank you for their lives. I thank you that you're at work in their lives. I thank you that your favor is upon them, that your blessings are before them, and you want them to live abundantly. I pray that you would just continue to grant them favor and open their eyes to see and know that you have never left them. You've not forsaken them. You're with them, and they can overcome all things. I thank you that you're blessing their families. I thank you for health and wholeness. I thank you for your goodness, because you are good. You are good, God. I thank you for love. You are love. We don't know love absent of you. And Father, throughout this week, in every circumstance, I just pray that the revelation of who you are and what you've done would grow in their lives and they would be thankful. I bless them and I thank you, Jesus. You are worth it all and more. In Jesus' name, amen. Get together, share a Thanksgiving, and happy Thanksgiving to all.